Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
Once you go to heaven, you can never advance the kingdom of God on earth. Once you go to heaven, you can no longer damage Satan's kingdom. So the best place for you to be right now is right here. And of course, that's assuming that while you're here, you have some usefulness and that I have some usefulness. That, in fact, God can use us to damage severely Satan's kingdom and to advance the kingdom of God, and actually useful to help somebody else into an eternal life with God that without you they never would experience or have. So the question is, how can we be useful to God? And it was only a few days ago I was thinking of these thoughts myself. How useful am I to God? And the question that emerged was, how usable am I? Because usefulness depends on how usable we are. And it was like the Lord asked me a series of questions. I want to share them with you. I want you to jot them down in your notes, because as you answer these questions, you can determine, as I must for me and you must for you, how usable we really are to God. Question number one. Here it is. Can I hear from God? You see, how can God use me if I can't even get directions from Him? So the first question about usability is, can I hear from God? Now, Jesus put it this way. Let's look at the scripture. Jesus said, my sheep, look at this now, they hear my voice, I know them, and look at this, and they follow me. Can we hear from God? Orders from headquarters is the first step to being used by God, to being usable. Can you hear from God? Now, there are a lot of voices today all around us, shouting, some of them screaming, some of them whispering, but many, many voices. In a given day, you probably listen to 500 or more voices. But in the middle of all those voices, can you and I hear and recognize the speaking voice of God? When Jesus used this illustration, my sheep know my voice, it's a sheep shepherd illustration. For example, around Jerusalem or Bethlehem or some of those ancient towns, all the sheep were all mixed together. Shepherds, different shepherds had their sheep, they're all mixed together. And when a shepherd wanted to lead his sheep, he would lift up his voice, and out of that whole mixture of sheep, there were some who knew his voice, the shepherd's voice. And he would start walking, and he would start speaking, and out of the mix of sheep would come those sheep that knew the shepherd's voice. And what's really important for us today is to be able to hear his voice in the midst of all the other voices and to follow him. Can I be used of God? Starts with, can I even hear God? The second question that we need to ask ourselves is, if I do hear him, here's the next question, will I obey God explicitly in all situations? Hearing him is one thing, but obeying him is quite a different. If I'm going to be used of God, I must not just hear him, I must obey him, follow his directions that he's giving me. And that's why we've been learning these principles on how to live by commandment, and it's just simply this: that before deciding, speaking, or acting in any given situation, I first check to see if God has a commandment that applies to that situation. And if so, I obey that commandment joyfully, immediately, and without question, and I do this all the time, every time. The second question about being usable is, will I obey him after I hear him? There's a wonderful verse. Let's take a look at it together. Listen to the heart of God in this. He's saying, oh, that there were such a heart in those people. Look at this. That they would fear me and that they would keep all my commandments always. And look at the results. That it might be well with them and with their children forever. As we learn to obey God, I tell you what, it goes well with us and it will be a blessing to our children, not only temporally, but forever. The next verse, or close to it, says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, look at this, and keep his commandments. Look at this. And obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. First question about usability is, can I hear from God? The second question is, after I hear, will I obey? The third question about determining our usability is to ask ourselves this question. Is my body his? Is my body available to him? Now, we oft quote Romans chapter 12, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable worship. We present our bodies to the Lord so that these hands become his hands. And if he's to see the needs in people's lives, it will be with our eyes. And if he's to hear the call for help, it will be with our ears, because our bodies are his to use. If our bodies are not available to him, you see, how can we be usable? If our lips won't speak his message, if our heart won't demonstrate his compassion, if our attitudes and actions don't reflect God's view towards others, how can we be used of him? Our bodies must be available to him. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a wonderful scripture. Abraham was preparing a sacrifice on the altar, which he was to offer to the Lord. And he got the sacrifice on the altar, and this is what the scripture says. And the fowls came down upon the carcass. Now watch this. And Abraham drove them away. Listen to me now, because this is really important. When you offer yourself to God, like Abraham did the carcass of the animal, and you give your body, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice to God, there will be fowls, which in the Bible are representative of evil spirits. They will try to consume what you have offered to God. And you and I must do what Abraham did. Because when you make your body available to God and offer it as a sacrifice, those fowls will come down and try to consume what you're offering to the Lord. But what we must do is what Abraham did, and he drove them away. Now, let's look at a couple of verses about this. Look with me. Do not yield your members, that is, the members of your bodies, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Watch this now. But yield yourselves unto God, and we're talking about the members of your body, as those that are alive from the dead. Now watch this. And your members, the members of your body, hands, feet, tongue, ears, etc. Look at this. As instruments of righteousness unto God. Is your body available to God? Does he walk in your feet? Does he speak through your voice? Does he listen through your ears? Does he love through your heart? Does he think through your mind? Look at the scripture. Do you not know that, look at this, to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey, look at this now, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto rightness. It is who we are. If our bodies belong to, if we yielded our bodies, look at this next now, for as you have yielded the members of your bodies, you used to do it as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Now watch this. So now it's a different story. Now yield the members of your body as servants of righteousness unto holiness to God. Can I hear from God? Will I obey him after I do hear from him? Is my body available to him to use? Because that makes us usable. Number four, have I killed the deeds of the flesh? Now this is really critically important. Look at the scripture. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. Watch this now. But if you, now watch this, do mortify, that is to kill, the word from which we get mortuary, do you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now watch this phrase, don't miss this. If ye through the Spirit, it's not something God does for you, but it's something you can't do without him. Without God, we cannot. Without him, he will not. And what we must do is make sure that we, through the Spirit, do kill this fleshly appetites and destroy them, because they will interrupt, they will sidetrack us and prevent us from being used of God. Let's look at the next verse. Because you see, this is very direct. Look at this connection here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Watch this now. Being led by the Spirit of God, look at this, is dependent on, through the Spirit, mortifying the deeds of the body, killing the flesh so it doesn't interfere, because if we'll do that, if we will kill the deeds of the flesh, and that's the only thing you can do with flesh, is crucify it, kill it. You can't accommodate it. In fact, as we, through the Spirit, do kill it, you see, now we can be led by the Spirit, because the Spirit, the flesh are opposite, as we'll see in a moment. Look at this scripture. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the desires or the lusts of the flesh. Because if we do that, we'll get sidetracked and we will not be usable by God. We must, through the Spirit, kill the lusts of the flesh. Here's why. Look at the text. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Now watch this. And the Spirit is against the flesh. Now watch this now. And these are contrary, note it, contrary one to another. Don't miss the next phrase. So that ye cannot do the things ye would. You would want to be used of God, but without this destroying of the flesh, the Spirit will not have his way, and we will not be able to achieve the things we would like to. Watch the next verse. Connected. But if you are led of the Spirit, then you're not under law or legalism. Well, I tell you, dear friends, that there must be this killing of the deeds of the flesh. Now, the scripture says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and it lists them: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which the apostle said, I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we do not deal with the flesh, we will not be usable. We will not even be part of the kingdom of God. Now, let me interrupt for a moment, because there are four things in the scriptures that we are told to flee. Are you ready? Jot them down. Here they are. Number one, we are to flee fornication. Now, watch this now, because never fight if God says flee, and never flee if God says fight. That's why this Jesus told us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word is vitally important. If God says fight, don't flee. If he says flee, don't fight. For example, when it comes to the devil, you do not flee from the devil. What do? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But there are some things we flee from. Number one, fornication. Mark it down, underline it, circle it, put an exclamation mark after it, whatever you need to do to remember. The chosen, only effective method given to us by God to deal with fornication is to run from its presence, is to get away from it, flee it. Now watch this. Look at the scripture. Flee fornication. Because every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Well, what else are we to flee? The second thing is idolizing of people and things and ideas. And here's a wonderful landmark scripture, and you probably know this one so well. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. You're not being tempted any different than I or anybody else. But watch this. But God is faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but he will, with the temptation, also, look at this, make a way to escape. He makes a way to escape that you can bear this temptation. Now watch the next verse. For this reason, my dearly beloved, look at this now, flee from idolatry. Idolatry is idolizing anything, anybody, and putting it ahead of God. Whether it's a celebrity or a movie star or a sports hero, when we start to idolize, what does that mean? To idolize somebody is to make them into an idol. It's to so raise them and elevate them in our minds that we would become like them. And that's why God says, you'll have nobody else before me. Because you see, God doesn't want you to be slave to anything that's so mundane, so despicable, so low down. He wants you to see the greatest, the finest, the best. And that's why we look unto Jesus. Well, the second thing we flee fornication, we flee idolizing, and we flee hurtful lust. For they which be rich, look at this, fall into temptation and into a snare, and hurtful lust, which, now watch this, which drowned a man in perdition. But thou, O man of God, look at this instruction, flee these things. Flee these things. In fact, take time to look at the next verse, because it'll tell you what to follow, because that helps us overcome what we should be fleeing from. Number four, you should also flee, look at this, flee also youthful lusts. And you can tell plainly that lust has a lot to do with this, and God's way of dealing with this is to flee. Well, let's go back now to the questions about, are we usable? Number five is, have I overcome distractions? Am I usable? Not if I'm distracted. How can God use me in a given direction if I've always got things pulling me off course in other directions? That's why we must overcome everything that distracts us. Even they may not be sinful, but what it does, it keeps our attention, consumes our time, consumes our finances and our energies when we could be being used. Can you imagine this? What a delightful idea that you and I can be used of God for great eternal purposes. Have I overcome distractions? Here's how David said it. He said, I will set no wicked thing. That wasn't sinful. The word wicked is the same word from which we get iniquity. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Now watch this. Look at what he says. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Now notice he didn't hate the people, but he hates the work of people who come along and try to distract us and get us off in another direction. And he says, it shall not cleave to me. Number six, I need to ask myself, if I'm going to be used of God, are my priorities in place? Now the book of Ephesians is given to us with an overall structure. And the first five chapters deal with our highest priority, which is our relationship with God. Secondly, our second order of priority is parents, especially, of course, if we're single. And then thirdly, in my order of priority, is my spouse. And then fourthly is my children. And then fifthly is occupation. And then lastly is the ministry. I'm not usable if I put my job ahead of my parents, or if I put it ahead of God, or if I put my job ahead of my spouse, my marriage will get damaged and my usability will get severely lessened. I must not, watch this, put my job ahead of my children. It will cause bitterness in children. And that's why you must be careful not even to put the ministry, look at this, ahead of anything else. Because to be used of God, and long term, is to have our priorities in sequence. Number seven, have I discovered and developed my spiritual gift? This is so delightful because you see, God has made an investment in you. And if He has put a gift in you, a particular gift, a specific gift, then he intends to use that gift in you and operate through that gift. So if we're going to be used, we need to discover what our gift is. Because you're not just any old member of the body of Christ. You are a specific member. Look at this scripture with me. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are a particular member of the body. In fact, we had time, and you can order the teaching if you wish on the gifts of the Spirit, but there are only seven kinds of members in the body of Christ, and you are one of those seven. Now watch this. For as we have many members in one body, okay, we're many members in one body, the body of Christ, and look at this, all members do not have the same job, same office, same position, same function. Now watch this next verse. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and we're all joined together, look at this, and every one members one of another. Now watch this. This next phrase shows you how to know the difference between one member and another. Here it is. Here it is. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us. And then that scripture in Romans 12 goes on to show us the seven kinds of members, the seven differing gifts that make us different from one another. If we're going to be used of God, we need to discover and develop this gift and then use it to His glory. Usability depends on discovering your gift, developing it, and using it. And then, number eight, to be used of God, I have to ask myself the question, do I have time? Do I have time, or am I so preoccupied? Look at what the Scripture says. Because here is a secret of how to get back time. You say, my time's too full. Here's the secret from the Word of God on how to get your time. Look at this. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Look at this. Redeeming the time. To redeem means to get back. Get back time that those outside are consuming. And so wisdom is looking at everything people try to get us to do and making decisions so that our time doesn't get used up with triviality. How to get back time? Use wisdom. Watch this next verse. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means precisely. Not as fools, but as wise. Watch this now. Next phrase. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Watch this now. You get back the time by walking in precision, not doing stuff foolishly, that is, without thought, but as wise people. Because these days are evil. Look at this phrase now. And so for this reason, be ye not unwise, but look at this, understand what the will of the Lord is and stick to that, and you will have all the time you need. Number nine. The question is, have I developed the character qualities that God requires in order to use me? You know, we oft quote Romans 8:28 that says, everything works together to good to them that love God and are called according to His plan. But the next verse tells us the plan to which we've been called and to which everything is working together for our good. Here it is. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, look at this, to be conformed to the image of His Son. The more I am like Christ, the more character qualities that He has that I have, the more usable I will be. And then lastly, I have to ask myself, have I sought, received, and maintained the fullness of God's Holy Spirit? You know why that's so important? Usability doesn't just depend on us. It depends on availability to Him. Look at the scripture. It's not by might, nor by power. Watch this now. But it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What we need more than anything is God. Unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us. Remember this rule we mentioned earlier, without God I cannot, without me He will not. If I am to be used of God, Let me tell you something. The tasks I face are beyond me. And so I need His infilling Spirit, the flowing Spirit. What is this fullness of Spirit? It is simply this, my friend. It is the outflow and the overflow of the inflow of God's Spirit. And so the Spirit of God flows through you, and that's what gives you power. Because we don't want to do that, this stuff in the flesh, because that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We want to have fullness of the Spirit. So, how can God use us? Number one, can I hear God? Number two, will I obey Him after He gives me directions? Number three, is my body His? Number four, have I destroyed, have I killed the deeds of the flesh? Number five, have I overcome distractions? Number six, are my priorities in place? Have I discovered, seventh, and developed my spiritual gift? Do I have the time? And have I sought, received, and maintained the fullness of the Spirit along with developing the character qualities that God uses?
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.